Good morning. We are going to start today with a moment of ministry with Pam Sims.
Last week, you know, Matthew talked about reaching out to other Christians and those who were not Christians, and mentioned the fact that there are needed missionaries all over the world. He quoted for us Romans 10:13-15, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." And then he mentioned Luke 10, verse 2. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Well, I'm going to tell you how you can help support a missionary. When we can't go, maybe we are called to help support those who are there already and those who would like to go. We as Carmel Friends are part of Western Yearly Meeting. And Western Yearly Meeting is part of Friends United Meeting. Now, all together, if we work together, we could support missionaries. But we as a church would not be able to support one missionary even completely because it would be so costly. Well, Friends United Meeting has just 6 missionaries. There are 2, a couple, in Belize, Sam and Becky Barber. And if you'd like to hear more about them, talk to Marty Comstock and she can fill you in, because the Comstocks and the McDivitts visited that mission not very long ago. We have 3 missionaries in Africa, in Kenya. Ann Riggs is the president of the Friends Theological College there, which trains pastors. And pastors are needed so desperately there. There, I see that there is a thing in our bulletin today about the Congo, and I know, for instance, that the Congo is pleading for pastors to come and wanting trained pastors from the Friends Theological College. Lon Findel is an academic consultant for Friends Theological College there, and had planned to go full-time when his daughter died unexpectedly, and so he and his wife are raising their 3 grandchildren. So he works from here most of the time, but does make about 4 trips to Africa during the year. Eden Grace is a missionary that is in the African Ministries office. She does anything you can think of and is very good at it. And then we have 1 missionary in Ramallah who is director of the Ramallah Friends School that has at least 1,100 students from kindergarten through high school. Her name is Joyce Ajluni. Now, with these 6 missionaries, they have not been funded fully as they should be. In fact, if you add up all that they lack, it comes to $156,000. That's a lot. And obviously, it cannot go on forever that they are not receiving the funds that they need to stay on the mission field. So that's how we can help. Western Yearly Meeting Outreach Board, of which I'm a part, has a special project each year. And this year, we have decided that we would like to try to help out these missionary salaries to the tune of $12,000. So, if you feel God is leading you to open your pocketbook and give, I would encourage you to give You can mark an envelope of cash or a check with Western Yearly Meeting Special Project, and it will get to the right place. I would also encourage you to pray for these missionaries. If you are interested, I have names, addresses, even birthdays of these missionaries and their families that I would be glad to hand out. And you can pray for them, you can contact them. They have email addresses. In this world, we can keep in contact with them so easily. And it's just a matter of taking a little time and a little interest. We heard a story last evening of a man who and his wife who had volunteered at the Belize Mission at the Boys Friends School and said that all they did was just talk to these boys and be a friend to them. And they got their church to send Christmas cards to each one of the boys at Christmas. And it was the first time these children had ever gotten anything in the mail. He said when they were there last year, there were 16 students. 14 of them did not know who their father was. The other two knew who their father was, but had no contact with him. So we are doing great work. We just need to support them. So I thank you for anything you can do.
Thank you. Because we are focusing on becoming more missions-minded, I included this little insert in each bulletin today. This is a sample from a book called Operation World, and it goes through all the different countries, and it breaks down their geography, their people, their politics, their religion, and then it tells you all the different prayer points on how to pray for that country. And it's a fantastic little resource, and I've got a PDF copy of it, and if you want to look at it or get excerpts from it or whatever, or get your own copy or whatever, just let me know. But I just wanted to encourage you that even if you don't have a dime to spare, you can still pray. And prayer really makes a difference. And this is the seventh edition of this, and as you go through here, it'll tell you this is where we've been making progress. This is the progress we made, but here's where we still have needs and so forth. So please, just on some level, even if it's just prayer, get involved with getting the gospel out to the lost of the world. We're now going to have our time of open worship. And so I'm going to let God take it from here.
This past Thursday, the Historical Society honored Phyllis Rockhill for her contributions to our community as a lifelong teacher here, and her family, their contribution to the town years ago, and so forth. She was not feeling very well. We know she is struggling, but she was there, and she put a big smile on, but I know that there are things going on that we just don't know about, and she doesn't know about, and trying to figure out what is happening with her health. So please, please keep her in your thoughts and prayers.
Heavenly Father, we lift up our sister Phyllis to you. We call upon you now as the great physician. We ask you to touch her with your healing power, to right whatever is wrong with her, to restore her back to good health again. We thank you for this beautiful day and this chance to come together in freedom, to worship you, to love each other. And I ask now that you will please guide my mouth as I deliver your words to my brothers and sisters here. And please open their spiritual ears to hear what is only what it is you have to say. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week, I started off the week in a little bit of a panic because over the past 3 weeks, we've had this very big, clear message about the glory of God, that God is glorious and that everything we do should be towards His glory. And that message was just so heavy on my heart, and it was real easy to come up with my sermons, and it just 3 weeks just wrote itself. But I kind of got to the end of everything I felt I needed to say on that, and so I started this week with absolutely no idea what to say this Sunday. And so I was scratching my head, trying to figure out what to do. And I was in my Bible, I was reading the story of Simon the Sorcerer, which is in Acts. It's the story of this man who, his name was Simon, and he performed these acts of magic, and he did that to make money, and then he gets saved, comes to Jesus. And then later on, after he gets saved, the apostles come to town and start praying for people, and the people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and he goes up to Peter and says, "Hey, I will give you money if you give me this power, the ability to fill people with the Holy Spirit." And in Acts 8:20, Peter says to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." So I was kind of panicking already, and then I read that verse and the part about pray that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. That really convicted me, because I know there's a lot of times when I get my behavior just right and I say the right things and I do the right things, but in my heart I've got all this negative emotion churning. But the thoughts of my heart towards the people that I can put on a good face towards is not always right. And that really cut me to the core when Peter said that, encouraged this guy to pray that the thoughts of his heart be forgiven. And I started panicking then, because I said, "God, I mean, I can act right, but my heart is a flame. It's a wild animal, and I've been committing this sin, and it's not something that's easy to control." And so then that just made me panic even more. But that's when God spoke to me and said, he reminded me of 2 Corinthians 4:7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." And he was reminding me that it's because I am weak and broken and desperate that he can use me. And because he is glorious and because he deserves all the glory, and he takes people who obviously are not fit for what he's called them to, so that when they succeed, it is clear that he is the one behind it. He uses people and puts them in places where they need to rely on him. And when they succeed, it's obvious that they have relied on him, because that brings him glory. And that reminded me of 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so, my message to you today is really just two simple points. Number one is, first of all, get a good grip on how sinful our hearts are. And I know that's not fun to do or to think about, but the truth is that we were wicked, desperate sinners, and we were dead in our sins, and a dead man can't raise himself to life. And we absolutely needed God to choose us and to pursue us and to breathe life into us, because our sins had made us that dead. So I encourage you to allow that truth to humble you and to bring you to a point where you are desperate and you realize that you can't do it. This is the place where God can use you most effectively. And then secondly, the second point that I just want to share with you today is, if you are in a place where you feel God is breaking your heart for certain people, if you can't stop worrying about people in that country or the people who are shut-ins in our church or people in your neighborhood or your family, if you feel like you just have this burden on your heart towards a certain group of people, but you feel absolutely incapable of reaching those people, I want to say, God wants to say to you today that he's not expecting you to figure it out and do it on your own. He's expecting you to rely on him. And he puts those burdens, he puts that love in our heart towards those people. So if you have that burden, if you desire to share God's love with someone in this world, but you don't know how, then I encourage you to go in prayer to God and say, all right, God, you've put this burden in my heart, and I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm incapable. So please, please, show me what I need to do. Give me the strength and the power and the wisdom to fulfill this burden that you've placed on my heart. It starts from that place of humility. It starts from understanding that you need him and that you can't do it without him. But then take the next step and rely upon him. And give him all the glory all along the way. As you succeed, just say, I could not have done this without the strength of God. Just pass all the glory that people give you back right on to him. And he will put strength in your arms and legs, and he will put the words in your mouth. And that's it. That's all I'm going to say today.